I'm excited, man. I'm excited. And even if I wasn't excited, I'd still be excited because we're born again. Amen. Somebody asked me the other day, how's your eyesight? I said, you know what? I see light. Isn't that good? As long as I can see light, there's hope, right? So, Homer, what do you see? I see light. That's good enough. That lets me know every time that I'm facing an emotional battle. Hey, I see light. Is not my father light? That's enough to just get me going another day. So I'm fine. My spirit's on fire. I'm on fire for Jesus. I love it. I love it. I love Jesus as you do too. Amen. God is so awesome. You know, I'm going to explain to you a little bit how I know, how I feel, how I know when my conscience, the conscience of my new nature, how it accuses and excuses my thoughts. I'm going to tell you how I know within me how the conscience of my nature accuses or else excuses my thoughts. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger every single day that I sit in God's presence, praying in the Holy Ghost, edifying my spirit, and reading God's word, and whether it's pushing a meal back or doing this or that, whatever we're taught to do, as I do it, that the voice of that conscience, it gets louder and louder, and you just know that certain things are not acceptable in our lives, and I love it. And this is how I know. You know, when you're going to type a sentence with a typewriter or with a computer, you're typing, you're going to type a sentence of 6 or 7 words. Now, I'm going to try to relate to you how I know when I'm to talk or not to talk, or what to say or not to. So I'm going to explain to you how I know the conscience of my nature, how it accuses or else excuses. You know, when you're typing on a computer or you're going to type a sentence, you might type, the dog is big and black. I'm just saying, the dog is big and black. That's 6 words, right? When you type out those 6 words, when you type the dog, what's between the word the and the word dog? A what? A space. You type T-H-E, then you hit the space bar, right? Space and then bar. Well, that means there's a delay. There's a second or two before I type dog. I type the, space, wait, pause, then I type dog. It's the same way with the conscience of my new nature. When I hear that thing that I should say or shouldn't say, it's that little a space, an awareness in me that's just a lie that says, don't say it. Don't do it. Don't quote that Bible verse the way you're going to quote it. There's just a knowing that you know that it's him. It's just like that. There's a little hesitation inside of me, a hesitation inside of my inward man that says, yay or nay. It accuses or else excuses. And it's getting stronger and stronger every single day. And I know that I know that I know that it's him. And it's getting easier and easier to say yes to my spirit, man, and no to my flesh. That's the way it should be. Amen. How many of you know that this last push into what is revival? We need to stop saying we're expecting God to heal us. We're expecting revival. My friends, if that's your disposition, you're going to be expecting for a long time, because revival is when the widow lost her son at the gate. When Jesus said, when she lost her son and he was in a bier, he was in a coffin, Jesus said, weep not. This is the thing. When Jesus said, weep not, he was still dead. He wasn't alive when Jesus told the widow at the gate. He said, weep not, but he was still in the coffin. What do you mean, weep not, Jesus? Didn't he say that the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised? He didn't say he was going to pray for the blind to see. He didn't say he was going to pray for the lame to walk. He didn't say he was going to pray for the lepers to be cleansed. He said they were cleansed. Here on earth, they were a leper. Here on earth, they were blind. But from the dwelling that Jesus came from, there is no leprosy. So he said, weep not, because he said, lady, weep not, because what you want is already done. And what is done, I'm fixing to see. You're going to see with your own eyes. You see him dead. I see him alive. That's why he said, weep not, even before he raised it, because he knew he was going to be raised from the dead. Christ knew it. That's the kind of mind that we have. While I'm expecting God to heal, you're going to be expecting a long time. You got to visualize yourself healed. We've got to change our speech. We've got to change our demeanor. We have to completely saturate our hearts and our minds with God's word, because the kingdom of God is, it isn't going to come. It is here. We've got to visualize it. We've got to say it. We've got to confess it over and over and over again. If you slip up and say the wrong thing, ask God to forgive you, because it is. I can see now according to the kingdom of God. There are no blind eyes in the kingdom of my Father. There is no sickness in the kingdom of my Father. See, he said the blind see. It might be blind here on earth, but in the place where Christ was from, there are no blind eyes. Even if our talk sounds crazy, and it does sound crazy to the world, even some Christians think that we're crazy. So what? Let them think that I'm crazy. I'm crazy for coming here to this church. Because what we're taught here is just, woo, let me be crazy. I'll be crazy. Let me tell everybody that I got 20/20 eyesight when I run into a wall. Oh, no, I can see purple. That's fine. Let me make a fool of myself. Let me. Leave me alone. It's me. How you doing? I'm doing great. You don't have to be able to have 20/20 eyesight to have a great day in God. My candle's been lit inside, not my eyes. I've been born internally, not externally. Nothing can control my peace, nothing. I'm a steward of what I do, and I'm a steward of what I say. Plain and simple, I'm a steward of what I say and what I do, and so are you. You steward what you do, and you steward what you say. It is nobody else's fault that junk comes out of your mouth. You steward it, and I steward it. Amen? Glory. Funny how I said glory, because this isn't even the message yet. The message is going to be simple. It's such an understatement when we say all glory to God. Do we really know what we say when we say all glory to God? Do we have a full comprehension of what it means when we say all glory to God? Do you think you have a comprehension of what that means? Does anybody here think they have a comprehension of what it means? Don't be scared. You might not. I'm not setting you up. Who thinks they have a comprehension of what that means? Say amen. Hey, boy, we're behind the times. Don't feel bad. I didn't know either. Do you know according to Romans 6, it says that Jesus was raised from what? The dead by what? By the glory of what? The Father. It says Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And what to say after that, you Roman scholars? All right, now some of y'all been reading Romans. I hope y'all better know what it says in Romans 6. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk in what? Newness of life. We also should walk in newness of life. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, Christ was raised from spiritual death by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in the newness of life. So what is the newness of life? What's it? What regarding what I just quoted out of Romans 6, what's another word that we could term the life of God in us? The glory of the Father. That glory, the life of God, quickened me, took me from death unto life. That means the glory of God or his life or his nature was not in me till I cried out to Jesus. Then that glory, the Holy Ghost breathed the breath of life into me and he quickened me. He took me from unrighteousness to righteousness by the glory of the Father, by the life of the Father. I went from death unto life. So therefore, I was quickened by the glory of the Father. So now that I'm quickened by the glory of the Father or the life or the nature of the Father lives in me, that means the glory of God lives what? It lives in me. I can't receive that glory. It's not going to dwell in me lest that glory what? Quickens me. That glory is the life of God. The life of God quickened my spirit. So now the glory of God dwells in me. Now, out of that glory that quickened me, and out of that glory that lives in me, guess what I do out of the glory that lives in me that I received when I was quickened by that glory? Guess what I do now out of that glory? According to 1 Peter, I glorify God out of that what? Glory. I glorify God out of that nature by living inside of that glory. I live out of the instruction of my new nature. This is where the body of Christ has missed it. There's no glory, giving God glory, when we leave the operation of our spirit. Because we've been quickened by God's glory, by His life. Now that glory that quickened us lives inside of our being. Now as we live out of that glory, out of that nature, only then do we glorify God. He's not glorified by the way we articulate, by the Bible verses that we quote. He isn't glorified by our fasting or by our praying. He is glorified in our lives. We glorify the Father by abiding in that nature that He's given us. That glory quickened us. That glory lived in us. And I glorify my Father by living out of the glory that lives in me. And if that's not enough, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm quickened by the glory of God. God's glory remains permanently in me. And as I do what the new nature says, I glorify my Father. And if that's not enough, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, when it's said and done, Miss Barbara, when I utter my last breath, what's 1 Peter chapter 5 say? I'm going to receive what? A crown of glory. Nothing that I have is of me. These words I'm going to share with you tonight, they're not of me. They're of Him. I'm nothing without the rebirth. I'm nothing without Jesus. What does an individual think that he is? We were lost. We had a judgment rendered against us. The lake of fire awaited me and you till His glory quickened me. His glory lives in me. I live out of that glory and glorify Him. And when I'm done, I receive a crown of glory that's going to abide forever. What do we have if it's not for all that He is? What do we have? Nothing. Nothing. Everything belongs to Him. That when we say all glory to you, that is an understatement, because all glory is His. He gave me His life. He quickened me by that glory. That glory lives in me. And as I live my life out of that glory, out of that nature, I glorify my Father. And that's commendable to Him. When I face adversity and I abide in that nature, I'm glorifying my Father. I'm bringing the unjust. I'm acting as a just person. The unjust that doesn't know God, I bring him to Christ by living out of that operation that's in me, my friends. We can't bring God glory any other way than to abide in the nature of God. Everybody wants to articulate. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to be heard. There's no glory in that, man. There's glory in God by abiding in the glory that lives inside of me and you. And when we're all said and done, we're going to receive a crown of glory, whether it's a physical crown, a spiritual crown, I don't know, but all I know is that I want it, and so do you. So let's think about that. Well, we're nothing in ourselves. Before the cross, we were nothing. We had a final judgment rendered against us, and the lake of fire awaited us till His glory came, quickened us. And we live out of that glory. We glorify Him. And when it's all said and done, He gives us a crown of glory that's going to abide forever. My friends, when we were nothing, who He was made us something. By His absolute glory. We live out of that glory. We live out of that nature. To me, that's why when we say we give you all the glory, you got that right, buddy, because you didn't quicken yourself. You didn't quicken yourself, and you don't glorify Him yourself. The only way we glorify Him is if we live out of that nature that God has given us. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and when it's all said and done, we stand before Him. That moment when we utter our final breath here on earth and we stand before the Lamb of God, so you're going to receive a crown of glory that abides forever. That's what I want, my friends. For Him to look me eyeball to eyeball and say, great job, son. Great is your reward. Here is your crown of glory, whether it's physical, spiritual, I don't know. And it doesn't matter to me. All I know is that I'm going to stand before Him one day when I'm done. And He's going to say, here, son, enter in to thy heavenly habitation. That's what I want, and that's what you want as sons and daughters of God. To me, And we say we give him all the glory. We're absolutely right. We have to give him all the glory because all the glory is his. Every single bit of it. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we can get on to the message. Glory. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you. How many of you know that it's real easy? Let's say you have somebody that you really like a lot. Now, I want you to be, don't get super spiritual on me here. I want you to answer. I'm going to ask somebody randomly. I don't even know who's here. I'm just, hopefully the person that I call is here. So I'm going to ask, and don't get too spiritual on me. Answer the question. Let's say you have a friend that you really love a lot. That you really love a lot and you spend a lot of time with. Terry's here, right? Okay, my wife's here. Okay. Carl. Okay, let's nobody likes Carl. So we're going to use Carl as a scapegoat. Okay, we're going to use three girls. We're going to use Terry and Kirsten. They're not mom and daughter right now. I'm going to use my wife, Kirsten, and Terry. Let's say that my wife is the middle person and that she has a great relationship with Terry. They're girlfriends. They go shopping together. They do everything together. They talk 2 or 3 days a week, and they're great friends. They're colleagues at work, and they come to church. They love Jesus, and my wife loves Terry. She loves Terry a lot. Remember, Kirsten and Terry, they're not related in any means, just during this example. But my wife has a so-so relationship with Kirsten. Maybe a little bit, she doesn't really care too much about Kirsten, but she cares a lot about Terry. Now, I know none of you have go through that. I know that. I know none. There's not one Christian in here that goes through that. So my wife's in the middle. Terry's on the left. Kirsten's on the right. And an accusation comes up. And we are so guilty. I'm sitting right there on the front row. I ministered to myself. And I promise you, we have all been guilty of it. Even currently, there's no protocol. There's no spiritual protocol when it comes to this. There has been none. How do you know? Because I've heard people talk. And I've heard myself talk. And I'm learning just like you. So the grace is here for me and you to learn for what I'm going to share with you today through the Holy Ghost. So my wife, Terry and Kirsten, are at odds with each other. Remember, they're not mom and daughter. They're at odds with each other. My wife's in the middle. My wife has a great relationship with Terry, not so well with Kirsten. There's a problem between the two. My wife spends a lot of time with Terry. Maybe once a year she spends time with Kirsten. Doesn't know her very well. Terry comes with an accusation. Oh, Rosie, I got to talk to you. Pray with me, sister, about this situation. When a Christian says, pray with me about a situation, be careful, they're fixing the gossip. 9 times out of 10, they're going to gossip. Be real careful. Pray with me about this situation. Oh, here it goes. Right or wrong? Okay. Pray with me on this. So Terry comes to, Rosie, you know I love Jesus, and I've been doing so good. I've been fasting. Oh, boy, here it comes. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I love Jesus, Rosie. Oh, my God. Pastor Bronx's message was so good. Wasn't it, Rosie? Oh, God, Pastor Bronx, the best. Yes. You got time to talk on the phone a little bit longer for about 10 more minutes, Rosie? Yeah. What's going on? Oh, that Kirsten drives me crazy. She drives me crazy. Can you believe this? Okay, stop. Now, Miss Rosie doesn't have a relationship with Kirsten, but she has one with Terry. Terry's telling Miss Rosie an issue about Kirsten. 99.9% of the time will Miss Rosie believe Terry regarding Kirsten? Yes, we will. 99.9% of the time, because that's the way our flesh rolls. Is Miss Rosie right? No, she's not. Proverbs says this: he that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. First of all, Terry's completely, completely out of order. She has broken spiritual protocol according to Matthew 18. She has broken spiritual protocol. She's broken. So let me ask you, if Terry's already broken spiritual protocol by going to Rosie, and Rosie breaks spiritual protocol and answers Terry without hearing the matter completely, Rosie's broken protocol, Terry's broken protocol, Rosie hasn't heard the whole story. She hasn't heard Kirsten's story. She heard her buddy's story. And since Rosie heard her buddy's story, I'm going to side with my buddy. After all, I don't like you very much, Miss K. I got her name is K on my phone because Siri cannot say Kirsten and she drives me crazy. So Kirsten is K on my phone. Since Rosie doesn't like K too much, I'm going to go with Miss Terry. She's my friend, and of course she wouldn't lie to me. But wait a minute. Of course she lied to you. She already broke spiritual protocol. Why wouldn't she lie to you if she's already in darkness by coming to you talking about a sister without following Matthew 18? She's already in darkness. So why wouldn't Terry add a lie to the situation if she's already in darkness? Think about that. She's not in the light. She's already kicked God's word to the curb already. By what? By coming to you and talking about somebody that she had fought with, had nothing to do with you, nothing. But no, but Terry wanted somebody to agree with her. That's why Terry went to Rosie. Terry wanted Rosie to agree with the accusations or the hatred by Kirsten so that Terry could feel good about her accusation about Kirsten. If Rosie can agree with me, then I must be right. But no. Terry's out of line. And Rosie's out of line for commenting on something she knew nothing about. Solomon said, he that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. The same Solomon said, the heart of the righteous studieth how to answer. The mouth of fools pour out evil things. Solomon also said, he that keepeth his mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. But no, Terry wanted somebody to agree with her. So she went to Rosie, and Rosie also broke spiritual protocol and answered the matter because she had more love for Terry than she did to Kirsten. My friends, that is so common. That is so common in the body of Christ. I hear it all the time. By me too. So when the Lord gave me this message 3 or 4 months ago, I've had it on the back burner. I've been waiting for the right time. And tonight he released me to say it. So this message has been on my heart for 3 months, maybe 4 months at the most. Terry left the instruction of the light. She didn't leave the light now because the light's in her. She left the instruction of the light. She, all of a sudden, she's walking in darkness. She's walking in sin. And Rosie did the same thing when she answered the matter without hearing who? K. But Terry's my friend. She wouldn't lie to me. Yes, she would lie to you because she's already lying already. She's already gone against truth by coming to you about another brother in Christ. Why wouldn't she lie? She's already broken spiritual protocol. Why wouldn't she add to her darkness? Why wouldn't she? She's already left the instruction of the light. So why wouldn't she lie to you? It's a hard pill to swallow, isn't it? It's a hard pill to swallow. When I was young, I went to a birthday party. 8th grade. Long time ago. I don't know, but that's a long time ago. Beware. Beware now. When somebody is always telling you what somebody else is doing, beware. Be so aware. Somebody I knew recently related to me, they were talking about another young lady. Now the terminology, I'm 48, I'm almost 50. The terminology now for a promiscuous young lady, I think, what do they call it, fast sometimes, that she's a fast young lady, is that what they call it sometimes? Well, they were saying that how this young lady was fast, promiscuous. I didn't know what, I said, what's fast mean? And they told me, well, so okay, that's what fast means. But this person was going on about how fast this young lady was. So I stopped. I didn't say a word to nobody. Nobody knows who that person is right now. And I heard this person. And within my spirit, I heard this. They're guilty. They're guilty of the same thing. And guess what? They were. They were guilty of the same accusation that they accused somebody else of being. How do you know? I know for a fact that they're guilty. It was evident and it came out. So even with our children, even with our loved ones or our teenagers, if you got one that's always telling you what somebody else is doing, there ought to be a check in your spirit, because they are breaking protocol. If your child has an issue with somebody else, you don't interfere with that unless the child's 8, 9, 10 years old. Of course, you got to defend the honor of your kid according to spiritual protocol. But if your child is a teenager, it's none of your business. It's none of my business if Elijah's 19 years old has an issue with Carl. That, I'm going to tell Elijah what the Bible says. I can't get involved in that. Elijah comes here. He knows the word. He knows the doctrine of his church. He knows what to do. I can't get involved in it as much as I want to. I don't have the spiritual right to get involved in it. I cannot. As much as I want to, I cannot. Because he that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. So I was at this party, eighth grade, and I was drinking in the eighth grade, and so were other kids. I was guilty. Mom and dad picked me up from the party, picked me up in the car. Of course, you know, you can't have beer or bread. Don't give you, you can't give yourself away. So I went home. My mom and dad were still married at that time. And guess what I did when I got home? I told my mom and dad everybody's name that was drinking at that party. Every day, this person was, Kirsten was drinking, Gay was drinking, Barbara, they were all drinking, Dad, they were all drinking, all of them. And that Gay, she got tore up, Dad. And Marty was there drunk too. I told everybody. And that Barbara, she ain't quiet, she's crazy too, Dad. Oh my God, that Barbara Fish is crazy. I told my dad everything, what kind of beer it was in the eighth grade. Guess who I didn't tell on? I did not tell on myself. I wanted to justify my darkness. Because after all, my mom and dad loved me more than they loved the kids at the party. Right? So why not tell on everybody else? But I'm not going to tell on myself. Be very careful. Be very careful. Because if a person goes to you outside of spiritual protocol, you say, well, they're my loved ones, they wouldn't lie to me. They're already in darkness because they're coming to you about an issue they got with somebody else. They're already in darkness. Why wouldn't they add to that darkness if they're already in it? They broke spiritual protocol. They broke it. Are you with me on this? They broke it. So why wouldn't they add a lie? They're already telling a lie. They've already exited the operation. No, they've already exited the instruction out of that new nature. So why wouldn't they lie? Why wouldn't they? But no, but we're going to believe who we love the most. Parents, our kids can do no wrong. They can do no wrong. They can do no wrong. Or so we think. Your kid will very seldom tell you the wrong that he does. Very seldom. But they will tell you the wrong that somebody else, that ought to be an instant red flag in your spirit. Especially if they're mature and they come here. Because they hear absolute truth from Pastor Bronk. So know right away that spiritual protocol of the word of God has been defiled. It has been disannulled. And if you answer their accusation against somebody else, my friend, you're also walking in darkness. Because he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame unto him. He that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and ashamed unto him. I've been counseling people a lot these last 2 weeks, a lot. And I'm honored because some young men are coming to me about, they're inquiring about marriage now. And I had a young lady come up to me about a young man she was interested in, and she trusted me and my wife enough to talk to us about it. And that's an honor. They would trust us enough. And the young man would say, when I get married, I want my wife, I want to have a marriage like you and Miss Rosie. And at first I didn't think about it. I said, wow, what a compliment. I want to have a marriage like you and your wife. And you know what? I got a great marriage. And it's an honor that these young people come to me wanting to know, what do you do to have your marriage so good? I just love on Jesus. That's all I do. There's no secret to a good marriage. If you don't love Jesus, you ain't going to love your spouse. Take that to the bank. So I've been counseling a lot of people lately, and this message I got 3 or 4 months ago, so, and I've talked to a lot of people lately. It has nothing to do with you, but I get to use it as an example. I had an issue with a young man, and this young man was not out of order because there was no malice in him. He really wanted direction, and I gave him the direction. There was an issue he had, not a big issue, with somebody else. And he came to me. He was not gossiping. He really wanted counsel. So I heard him out. And Proverbs has been working in me for a while. Verses like, you know, he that has knowledge spareth his words. Even a fool when he holds his peace is counted wise. Those verses have been working in me. They've been working in me a lot lately. They're getting me to shut up, to hear a matter out. The Bible also says, he that handles a matter wisely seeketh good. He that trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. So he came to me with this, and I heard him. I said, you know what? Let me chew on this. Let me get back to you tomorrow. And I did. I said, well, I thought about what you said. I promised to get back with him, and I did. I said, the truth of the matter is, I don't have the right to comment on this situation. Because I've heard you. And though that person didn't rip the other person, I haven't heard them. So what you do is you go to him. You sit down as a Christian man, and you talk about it. And I guarantee you, you can fix it. That is spiritual protocol. Not hearing him, commenting to him about the other person. No, my friends, that's darkness. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame unto him. The heart of the righteous teaches his mouth and addeth learning unto his lips. The heart of the righteous studieth how to answer. The mouth of fools poureth out evil things. You calling me a fool? I don't know. Are you pouring out evil things? If you are, I'm not calling you a fool. I'm just repeating something. I'm not calling you a fool. That was one instance, and the young man handled it well. There was no malice in him. He really didn't know what direction to take. I gave him the word. All we can give is the word. We can't give our opinion. Our opinion means nothing. It means nothing. Had another instance where another man come to me about marriage. And I've been saying this a lot to people. Look, you're coming to me for counsel. I'm going to counsel you. If what you're telling me is the truth, then this is my counsel to you. I'm counseling you according to what you're telling me. Now, if you're lying to me, it's on you. It's not on me. And the young man wasn't lying, but this is what I've been telling everybody for a while now. I'm counseling you. I'm giving you godly wisdom out of God's word based on. Now, if it's a matter with somebody else, I stop. But this was a matter about himself, so I could sow into his life. I said, if what you're telling me is true, then you're okay in this situation. But if you're lying to me and adding to the truth, then you're in error. And you're wrong. And you came to me in vanity. Now, if somebody's talking to me about a situation and I can discern different, I'll go forward and speak what I feel is the Holy Ghost. But that's not always the case. So my counsel to somebody is this. If what you're telling me is the truth and I do not feel you're lying, this is what God's holy word says about your situation. If you're telling me the truth, this is my counsel. He that answers the matter before he hears that it is folly and a shame unto him. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Aren't we tired of giving our opinion about stuff that we know absolutely nothing about? We hear one side of the story and we develop a conclusion of who's innocent and of who's guilty. Whatever happened to following the word of God? Whatever happened to following spiritual protocol? But no, we love somebody and automatically they're right, and the person that I'm not close to, they're wrong. My friend, that's an error. That's darkness. I'm ministering now out of examples. Had an example a while back. Nobody knows this man. You might, but, and I'm not even going to give anybody a remote hint of who I'm making reference to, because that's not the heart of the Father. There was a young man that came to me. He's a football player, and I don't know him well, and he's a real good football player, real good football player. And he came to me and my wife, and they were short on food. They were short on food. So, I mean, the little bit that I got right now, I'm not working in AmeriGas no more, but it's okay. Even if I got $10 extra, that's still $10 worth of food that I can buy him, amen? I don't have to have $1,000 to buy him a lot of food. So we bought what we could, bought him some groceries. And, you know, he needed clothes. And at that moment, we didn't have the time, the funds at that time. And I tried to get help from the outside community to help him. And I talked to a deacon at a church. For sure, he's a deacon. He's going to help this guy. I mean, the kid wasn't asking for nothing, food and used clothes, right, baby? He asked me, you got some used tennis shoes you can give me? Give them here. And I said, okay, I'll see what I can do for you. And we bought him his groceries, and he went on some eggs and bacon and biscuits, and they were so happy. And I went to a deacon. I said, this young man here, I said, right now, I'm not a sales rep anymore. So he put two and two together. I got no shame to tell you right now. I'm living on Social Security. I mean, till what is comes to pass in my life, I'm going to be back to normal. But we lack nothing. We got food and our bills are paid. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things shall be added unto you. So I went to this man for assistance, because this man has a lot more means than I have. And he ripped the parents of this young man like I have never heard. Even if half of what this deacon said about this young man's parent was true, I would have kept it to myself. He went on about the parents of this young man. I said, my God, I'm sorry I asked. All the kid wants is some groceries. All he wants is some used clothes. I said, okay, don't worry about it. So I was shocked that he would go on and go on and go on and rip the parents of this young. Even if it was true, I couldn't even repeat what he said. It was that bad. He that answers the matter before you hear that it is folly and a shame unto him. A while back, a loved one told their loved one about an issue they had with somebody. The loved one told their loved one about an issue they had with somebody. The loved one that told their loved one got the response that they wanted from their loved one. They got the loved one to agree with the loved one. Only one problem. The first one that loved the loved one told 10% of the truth. They didn't tell the other 90%. So did I tell the loved one the truth about the other loved one? No, I took it on the chin. I took it right on the chin and didn't say a word. I took it right on the chin. Because the loved one that told the loved one about somebody else did not tell them the truth at all. Told them 10% of the truth and disannulled the other 90. What'd you do, Homer? I took it on the chin. Didn't say a word. Because my disposition with this word in me is not to hurt the loved one that told the loved one. If I got to take it on the chin, I'm going to take it on the chin. And I haven't even talked to the other person about it. And I'm not going to say nothing. Even my wife, even Pastor Brown, does not know who I'm talking about. And I'm not going to tell my wife. I'm not going to tell. It's not for me to go tell Pastor Brown every time there's an issue with somebody. That's not proper protocol. So what you do, I took it on the chin. I knew that other person lied. I didn't tell either one of them that there was a lie. I took it on the chin. Why? Because that's what I felt I had to do at that moment. I just took it on the chin. It led me to this. The loved one that told the loved one, they got a response back from the loved one. The loved one responded back to the loved one, completely, completely disannulling the new nature. Because the loved one that was told knew nothing about the truth. That is a common trend in the body of Christ. We hear who we love. We hear those that are of our own bloodline. We hear them. We automatically, 9 times out of 10, we assume that they're telling us the truth, not knowing that they're already in darkness, telling us something about somebody else. Let that sink in, man. Let it sink in. There's going to be times in this walk into revival that this seems so minute and it might not seem relevant to what's being taught lately, but this is happening. And it's so easy to believe a loved one because, well, after all, they wouldn't lie to me. But if somebody is consistently telling you what somebody else does, beware. Beware. A flag should go up in you instantaneously. Something is wrong because they have broken and disannulled Matthew 18. We have no right to comment on a situation regarding two people. None. I don't care who is involved. We have no spiritual right to answer either way. Now, if we're going to be called to help judge the situation, and we're going to hear both sides, then by all means. But Solomon said, he that answers the matter before he hears it is folly and a shame unto him. You know why, my friends? We left the operation of the new nature. He that handles a matter wisely seeketh good. He that trusteth in the Lord, Solomon said, happy is he. The heart of the righteous, it studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked, it poureth out evil things. He that keepeth his mouth and tongue keepeth his soul from trouble. We have to learn that this book here is the final say-so from A to Z. Nothing else matters. He that answers a matter before he heareth it. Excuse me, Miss Rosie, you commented on Terry's accusations against Kirsten without saying it because he's your friend and you love her and you don't care much about Kirsten. Is that why you commented? Basically, yes, Miss Rosie. King Solomon said that he that answers the matter before he heareth it, it's folly and the shame unto him. So Miss Rosie was in error for commenting on something she knew nothing about. She got 50% of it. But Terry was guilty for coming to her completely disannulling the scripture. What Terry should have done is gone to Kay. Said, I have to talk to you about something. And the protocol is in Matthew 18. The protocol is not to go to Miss Rosie first. The protocol is to go to that person. And that is completely, I've heard it. It's been disannulled so many times. But you know what? I'm with you because I have disannulled it. I have disannulled it too. But I'm learning every single day just like you are. When somebody comes to you about somebody else, right there, a red flag should go up that they will be adding more to the story than meets the eye because they're already out of order. And if they're already out of order, they're hearing the wrong spirit already. So why wouldn't they add a little something to it? Are you with me? That's a hard one to swallow. When you see Solomon in heaven, you can slap him in the face. He's the one that wrote Proverbs, not me. There has to be protocol. There has to be obedience with every single situation. If somebody mature comes to me, somebody that I trust, if Barbara comes to me, or Gay, or some of the elders come to me regarding a matter about my children, or Rex or Marsha or any of the elders, or Otto, or somebody reputable comes to me and they tell me, well, Homer, I saw Nathaniel smoking dope. Many parents will do this. Hey, Nathaniel, were you smoking dope? Dad, you know I don't smoke no dope. I knew Rex was crazy, son. I had a check when Rex told me that you were smoking dope, son. I knew he was wrong, son. I had a check. You can get a check about anything you want to get a check about, my friends. Anything you want to check about, you're going to get that check, especially when it comes to your kids. Right, Rosie, right, honey, that we had a check in our spirit that Nathaniel don't smoke no dope. Dad, you know I don't smoke dope, Dad. You know I don't smoke dope. No, this is what I'm going to say. Well, Rosie, Miss Gay came to me, baby, and said that she saw Nathaniel smoking dope. You know what? I'm going to believe Miss Gay. He said, I hope she's telling me the truth. Gosh, I'm going to go home and beat my son. I'm not going to go to my son and say, Nathaniel, know that, okay, well then, we have an elder in our church, leads confessions, woman that fasts and prays. She's going to start a rumor about my son out of the blues just to start it? Or maybe, just maybe, a little bit, the fruit of my loins is lying to me. I take the latter. The fruit of my loins is lying to me. I doubt very seriously a woman of God like Miss Gay would come to me telling me she saw my son smoke dope, and yet I tell her in her face that she's lying. That would be a slap to her integrity and what she stands for. Do you still love me, really? Well, we tend to believe those that we love. We never want to believe nothing about our loved ones. Nobody does. Why? Because we love them. Because we love them. I'm almost done. I told you this was going to be a little different today. Is it pretty good, though? Are you getting something out of it? Now, if Miss Gay comes to me, and she has Miss Gay, that Miss Gay never said nothing about any of my kids. I'm just the first person I think of, that's who I use in an example. So it's never nothing against anybody. But Pastor Homer, I got to talk to you. Okay, yes, ma'am. Yes, Miss Gay. Yeah, me and Marty were going down the road, and Nathaniel was with some friends smoking dope. You can almost take that to the bank. Unless they're mentirosos, unless they're liars, which they're not liars. Not only am I going to go to my son, and if he tells me, no problem. Come on, get in the car. We're going, Dad. We're going to Anchorage. For what? We're going to go get a drug test, son. I'm going to prove to you that I'm not stupid. I'm going to spend $30 on a drug test, and I guarantee you, if Gay and Mark told me that he was smoking dope, I guarantee you he's going to flunk that drug test. Let's get over our flesh. The Word of God is from A to Z. It doesn't stop at Q. It's all the way through. Oh, that rhymed. It don't stop at Q. It's all the way through. All right, man. Wow. Are you with me on this? He that answers a matter before he hears that it is folly and a shame unto you. There's going to be room and opportunities for offenses while we press into this great outpouring. Minute things that are so insignificant are going to come to break up the union amongst the brethren. Follow the Bible. Live by the Bible. Now, I can say the young men that have come to me, I can say before God, none of them came to me talking about somebody. One of them did not know how to handle it. He did not know how to handle it, and I gave him my counsel. He was pure about the situation. And the other young man that asked me about the marriage, I'm going to tell everybody that comes to me for counsel from now on, if what you're telling me, and I believe the young man, I believed him. I felt it in myself. Well, here we go, feeling again. I knew he was telling me the truth. I knew he was. I mean, you can just tell. But he that answers a matter before he hears that it is folly and a shame unto him. We have to incorporate that. We have to incorporate it. We have, even when it hurts. I'd rather Miss Gay and Marty tell me my son is smoking dope than me be blind to it till he's 18 years old, graduates high school, goes off to college, and then gets on cocaine because I didn't believe two elders that told me the truth about my son. I'd rather find out it hurt me make the correction and possibly put a little something on his butt than that lose him when he turns 19 and 20 years old. I'd rather deal with it right there and then than to face something catastrophical down the road. Wouldn't you? Because he that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. That's a hard one to swallow. And listen to me, and I'm almost done. Guys, I'm just, listen to me. I beg you, listen to me. Before Almighty God, this is a broad teaching and exhortation. There's nobody behind this. I have not put a face behind this lesson. I have not put a face before this lesson. Now, if you put your face there, that's on you. But I have not put your face before this lesson. If you think I did and that's on you, then you might be guilty. You might be guilty. But know this, my friends. When somebody is always telling you about what somebody else does, a flag shot ought to go up in your heart, in your spirit, instantaneously. Because they've already disannulled the scripture. Okay, Terry. I'm back up to Rosie and Terry and Kirsten again. Rosie, tell you something about Kirsten. Okay, Terry. Yeah, you know I love you, Terry. You know I love you with all my heart. But Terry, when I heard you say something, Terry, I got a check in my heart, Terry. I love you and I thank you that you trust me as your friend. But Terry, you're out of order, Terry. I can go to a particular context or scripture and show you what the scripture says, Terry, but you're not to come to me, Terry. Go to Kirsten, Terry. Fix it with her. That is proper protocol. If you give ear to that, you've already gone too far. Because you want to hear. Oh, yeah, what Kirsten do? But I ain't going to tell nobody. You know, I don't gossip about nobody. You know I don't, right, sister? And I know you don't, Rosie. Yeah, you liars, both of you. You know you want to hear what she's got to say. Kirsten. What if the beloved Terry is completely lying and you sold into a lie and passed judgment on innocence? You fool. Are you with me on this? Can I tell you that I've been guilty about this before? When? It's none of your business. I'm not going to tell you. If you've been guilty of it more than once, this year maybe that's none of your business. But this is penetrating my being. I'm not a bean now, my being. He said, yeah, you beaner. No, it's penetrating my being. Don't call me a bean. I know you thought about it. Are you with me on this? It's so easy. It's so easy to believe somebody that you love. It's so easy. Why? Because that's what we're programmed to do that. Dad, they was all drinking beer. All of them, Dad. I walked outside with a burp because I took a big old drink. That's why I walked outside. I told on the air, and I did that throughout my whole high school career. Everybody that was fast, smoking dope, my parents knew about it, but none of them were faster than me. Are you with me on this? Is it bearing witness with you? Do you believe what I'm telling you? Do you believe it's of the Holy Ghost? Last one. Now, I like what Gary says, but I don't know nobody's going to write me a letter because they don't know my address. Gary always says when he says something that people aren't going to receive, he says, now, don't write me a letter. If they write me a letter, I'm not going to read it. You get it? I'm not going to read it anyway, so write me a letter if you want. I'm not going to read it. Now, write it all you want to. I ain't studying you. I ain't going to read it. He don't know my address. And by the way, my mother-in-law gets the mail all the time when she ain't supposed to. She'll throw it away. My mother-in-law, she's different. Last one, and we're done. Are we going to be out here by 8:30 today? Okay, we're about done. Hallelujah. First closing. There's a proverb that says this. Now, I thought about it, about quoting it, and I know this isn't exactly, or so I think, in the context that it's supposed to be in. But I thought about it, and I pondered it, and it's not going to hurt anybody. But I'm going to quote it anyway because I got the mic. And if Pastor Brown wants to edit it, he can edit it and just delete it. I don't care. And I've quoted this proverb before. All regarding this about how we are not to conduct ourselves when there's accusations. Basically, when we answer a matter before we hear it, we're operating out of the what? Not out of the spirit, out of the what? Out of the soul, the flesh, exactly right. She knows. So, Solomon, I think it's Proverbs 20-something. That way I won't be wrong. It's 20-something. There's 29, what, 30 Proverbs, 29 Proverbs? It's Proverbs. It's in the book of Proverbs. Solomon said this. He that answers a matter. No, wrong. What is Solomon? Let me look it up here. Went too far. Hey, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. I'm crazy. I believe Jesus' talk is crazy talk, man. Come, walk on water with me. And he did, because he believed the word of the Lord. Amen. He that answereth a fool. Told you. Here we go. He that answereth a fool according to his folly shall be likened unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise. He that answers a fool according to his folly shall be likened unto him. You're going to be a fool too, in layman's terms. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest the fool think that he is wise, because you commented on his foolishness. Now, and this is what it probably does mean this. It's making reference to a person that spits junk out of their mouth without thinking about it. So really, I'm just going to use this in a comment because it's talking about you fools, or me as a fool if I speak foolishly. Then I thought about this proverb. He that answers a fool according to his folly shall be likened unto him. A fool. He that answers a fool according to his folly. I keep getting those two mixed up, but I think you know what I mean. He that answers a fool according to his folly shall be He that answers a fool according to his folly shall be likened unto him. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise. Now, I always put somebody else there that commented without even thinking. Basically, an unbeliever. And that's really what I think. He means, so don't write me a letter, because if you do, I'm not going to read it. So it doesn't matter. And if you write me an email, I'm not going to read it either. I'm going to delete it. Well, I got to thinking. I know it's talking about people. I know it's talking about those that are void of understanding. Proverbs talks about that. Let's put a Mockley Family Prayer Center twist on that verse. And you might know where I'm going with this. What does Solomon make reference a lot to in the book of Proverbs? The what? Ms. Gay said a little while ago, the what? The soul. Now, what part of me and you, completely contradicts the holiness and righteousness that's in our spirit? What part of us? Our flesh. Our flesh. Our flesh wants nothing to do with the spirit. They are complete opposite of each other. And does our flesh not have a voice? Is not the flesh the one that talked Miss Rosie into an answering a matter that she knew nothing of? Did not her flesh rise up and her without knowing the scripture or knowing the scripture and disannulling the scripture? Did she not disannul it because the voice of her flesh spoke and she gave heed to the voice of her flesh instead of the whisper of her spirit? So I took a twist there in Proverbs. So the twist that I took and the little curve that I made, the U-turn that I made, he that answers a fool according to his folly shall be likened unto him. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise. Don't write me any letters. Now I put a twist on that. And that fool that we answer too much in our lives is our flesh. You with me on that? Our flesh is a complete fool. Yet we answer our flesh. We give heed to our flesh more than we do our spirit. We answer our flesh, which is a fool, which completely contradicts all that God is. So we answer our flesh according to its folly, making us what? Fools. We answered a fool according to the fool's folly. And in return, we made a foolish decision. A foolish comment was made because we answered our flesh according to its pride and arrogance. We became foolish like our flesh is, completely contradicting that which is right. You with me on that? That's pretty good, isn't it? I've been counseling some young people lately about marriage. Young lady went to my house 2 weeks ago and asked me about divorce, about what I thought about divorce. And she asked me a real good question, and I didn't answer it. I said, let me get back to you. I'm getting wiser the older I'm getting, because I don't want to leave nobody wrong. So I said, let me get back to you about that. Let me get back to you. And I haven't yet, but I got the answer that I got a Holy Ghost-led, inspired, filled answer. A young man come to me, inquiring about marriage. And I told him this, and some of you, again, your face isn't before this. It's not. Now, if you put your face there, that's not on me. That's on you. That's not on me. 53% divorce rate in the body of Christ. That's more than an unbeliever. Now, 53% of all Christian marriages are end up in divorce. It's more than an unbeliever, one that does not have the glory of God living in them. I told a young man, you cannot, and this is a hard one to swallow, because if we marry somebody, we want a physical attraction, don't we? We want them to turn us on, not in the back. We want to know that that's the woman that I want. Out of those 53%, how many of those marriages were based out of a physical attraction instead out of their spirit, man? I say the majority of them, or else the marriage would have lasted. When you go to marry somebody, quit looking at Homer, I'm attracted to, okay, fine. End up in divorce, then make it 54%. Go ahead, give heed to that voice, you fool. Give heed to it. Disannul that Christian girl that loves you, that serves God. Disannul her because you want something else. Disannul it. Add to the 53%, you fool. Add to it. Add to it. Now, I hope Miss Gay and Marty don't get mad at me about this, and they won't. And I understand that Miss Mavis, and Gabe is his name, right? Is he here tonight? I have the utmost respect for that young man. I think I respect him. And I talked to him the other day. I said, young man, I got to meet you. I respect that young man so much more because he stood and fought for what he wanted and did not miss a lick when they came to church attendance. My friends, that is impressive. That is absolutely. He didn't give in to his flesh. He saw his queen. He stayed. He served Jesus. He grew in God. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. And this queen is going to be his one day. my friends, that is commendable. He did not give heed to the fool in his life, which is the flesh. He gave heed to the spirit man. He fought. He loved Jesus. He grew. And now he's back with his queen. That is commendable. I guarantee you he won't add to that 53%. I bet you he won't. I bet you he won't. Why? Because he didn't give over to the flesh and give up on this one and go through two or three more till he thought he found the right one. My friends, it is time that we grow up in God's kingdom. It is time now, not yesterday. Now is the time to grow up in his word. Our life is completely lived out of our spirit. Your feeling in the flesh will equal 54% divorce rate because you based it on a physical appearance. What are you going to do when she gets pregnant and overweight? Is that physical lust? Is that good? It's going to leave you. It's going to leave. There won't be an attraction when they weigh 190 pounds. There won't be an attraction there. But you know it's love when they're pregnant and they still look fine, baby. That's when you marry out of your spirit. When you want to hear your wife's name, when you got to hear her, call her four or five times, they say, baby, I love you, baby. That's love, my friends. Love is when you got a spouse that has to be babied and changed, and you got to cook different for him, you got to dress him, and never complains. That's what my wife is towards me. She thinks about me more than she thinks about herself. That's love. Honey, give me this, and she always does. Young people, live your life out of your spirit and not out of the voice of a fool, which is our flesh. Don't give heed to that. Don't give heed to physical appearance. It's nice. We all want a good looking spouse. Look at my wife. She hit the gold mine. Who said, oh God? I'll meet you after church, Mr. Whoever you are, Mrs. Who? Onique. Okay, it's on Onique. Oh, no, not Onique. No. I ain't scared of Onique. I'll tell her in her face. Are you with me? Were you edified? Are you going to break it with your unregenerate girlfriend and boyfriend? You got an unregenerate boyfriend and girlfriend? Ms. Gay, did you say amen, Ms. Gay? Marty, can I meet with you and Gay after church, please? Gabe, what side are you on, the left or my right? He's on the right? Seriously, sir. I salute you. You got you a fine young lady in God. You got you a fine young man in God. Yeah, man. Gabe, you are. I understand he's missed two services, Gabe. That's all he's missed. And he lives out of town. That's commendable, man. That's my hero there. All you guys are heroes of mine that have boyfriends and girlfriends and you refuse to leave because of what God's called you here. You are my heroes. I'm not marrying and leaving this town. God's called me to revival. You are my heroes. You are my heroes, Miss Kirsten, Harry, Robert, Carl. You are my heroes. Renee, you are my heroes. Mrs. Wright and Mr. Wright aren't always the right ones. You're called here. You are the future. You are the future. I got about 40 years left. You guys got about 60 or 70. Don't stop. Live your life out of your spirit. Amen. Did you get a little something today out of it? Anybody see my kid smoking dope? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand with me, please. Glory. Any announcements or anything we got to go over, Ms. Gay? There's calling the loss this Friday. Okay, calling the loss this Friday. We're going to have Ms. Loretta Cole's going to be with us for the weekend from Alva. So, amen. Guys, it's wonderful and easy to preach God's word here. It's real easy. Don't go home and question your kids. Come here, I got to talk to you. But at the same time, remember this. He that answers a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. Proverbs has some excellent, excellent wisdom in there that can change our lives forever. Amen. Father, we bless you, we praise you, and we glorify you, and we thank you, Father God, for your correction to me to this body, Father God. You know my heart. You know that I ministered to myself as I did to my brothers and my sisters, Father. May we grow from this, learn from this, and always make the Holy Ghost decisions in you, Father, and live our life out of that conscience that accuses and excuses our thoughts, Father. We worship you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, give each other a hug. We'll see you Friday. Amen.